Okay, tonight we're going to look at a very we stopped in the middle of chapter 49 last week, and tonight we're going to look at 49 and maybe 50, or at least part of 50. Tonight I have to stop a little bit early. I have a hard stop at 9:15, but we're going to look at a parak, which is really the beginning of a long stretch of passages of nechama and tochacha. Of consolation as well as challenge to Am Yisrael. As I mentioned, from this point on, we have no specific mention of Koresh, no specific mention of Cyrus. We have allusions again to the redemption we're going to see tonight as well, but we don't have that kind of specificity that we had in the first eight chapters, 40 to 48, in this section of the second half of Sefer Yeshayahu. We also have a kind of shift, which is very important for us to notice as we come into this section of the text. Last week, we looked at chapter 48, and then we started chapter 49. And chapter 49, the first part of it was what we called the second nevuah of the Eved Hashem. The terminology that was used there was very striking, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again called Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, Avdi Ata, that you are my servant. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke of the fact that the Jewish people, if we look again, let me put my screen up again. If we look back at chapter... we'll get rid of this, right? If we look back at chapter, let's get rid of this for a second. If we look back at chapter 49, what we finished last week, Kadosh Baruch Hu called all the, and spoke about how he had called Am Yisrael, Mibeten Kiraani, God had called me from my very birth, and Vayomerli Avdi Ata, and even though I was, and Am Yisrael is personified as feeling that it had been, all of its work throughout its history had been for naught, Larik Yagati, but indeed, however, God is with me. Once again, the idea that God had created us from the very outset, to take Israel, to restore Yaakov, to take Israel, etc., and that God would lahakim et shiftei Yisrael, that it is very easy for Hashem to restore his Eved. And in this context, Kadosh Baruch Hu describes a redemption. This is what we ended with last week. Ve'et ratzon anaticha, ubiyom Yeshua zarticha, va'atzarcha ve'tancha lebrit. Again, the language of creation. I created you, I gave you a covenant, and I redeemed you. And Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks of that he's going to bring us back, and he's going to come from we're going to come from the north, and from the west, and from the east, and from everybody. And Kinicham Hashem Amo Va'aniyav Yirachem. For God has shown mercy on his Aniyav, on those who have been afflicted, and Nicham Hashem Amo, God has shown comfort to his people. Reminds us of the language of the Chet HaEgel, Vayinachem Adonai al hara asher diber lasot l'amo. God is once again Kinicham Hashem Amo. Okay, we now start, and it's clear that there's a little bit of a shift, and we start this beautiful nevuah. This nevuah serves as the haftarah of Parshat Ekev. It's one of the Zayin Dinechemta. It's one of the seven prophecies of comfort. It's one of the haftarot that very famously makes it into it. And Before we get into it, if we wanted to frame the first eight chapters until we get here, really dealt with two major topics, and that is God the sovereign who has the power to redeem Israel against all powers? And so the argument that was made in chapter 40 through 48, Bigadol, was the argument that God is the sovereign. He controls nature and he controls history. He predicts history, which shows you that he controls nature and history. And therefore, God has the koach. God created the world. God split the sea. God saved in the past. And therefore, God is definitely sovereign. And since he's sovereign and more powerful than any of the other gods or any of the magic or any of the powers, God therefore has the yecholet. He has the ability to save the Jewish people. The question that, however, still lurks in the background is, does God have the ratzon? He has the yecholet. He has the ability. That's been proved beyond the shadow of a doubt. The question is, does God have the will, the desire to save his people? Maybe God has had enough with his people. And so this perek confronts that issue. Because at some point, Sion, again, Sion here can refer to the Jews in Zion. It can refer to Am Yisrael as a whole. It can refer to the Jews in Zion who've returned, but feel that it's not been a great return. There's three possibilities when we read these psukim. Vatomer Tzion, Azavani Adonai, Vadonai Shechechani, God has forgotten me, God has abandoned me. Meaning, I know that God has the ability to save. I know that God is the sovereign of nature and history as we've looked at, but does God want to save us? Maybe God has turned his back on us, like the Christian church later on would say, that God has replaced carnal Israel, the Israel in the flesh, with Israel in the spirit. Veritus Israel, right? With real Israel is Israel of the spirit. So, Vatomer Tziona, Zavani Adonai, Vadonai Shechechani. Again, three possibilities that you find in the commentaries and in the modern writers. It's either Zion who is speaking, meaning the initial settlers who came back to Eretz Yisrael, and it was a paltry, right? If we go back to the time of Zerubbabel, wasn't that many people who came? And there wasn't so much success. There was a lot of problems in the time of Zerubbabel. And certainly as recounted in the early books of Ezra, early chapters of Ezra, in the books of Haggai, there was a lot of difficulties. And even when they built the Beit HaMikdash, remember that the book of Nehemiah describes later on that the walls of Jerusalem weren't even built. So as much as whatever happened, there was still a lot of problems. But that's much later in history. But at this point, if we're talking about this period of the beginning of the return to Zion, so either Zion, the Jews in Zion are saying this, or the Jews in Bavel, who've given up hope and don't really believe that it's sustainable to create, to go back to Eretz Yisrael, or it's kind of a broad Am Yisrael in general. Vatomer Tziona, Zavani Adonai, Vadonai Shrichani. This could also, right, the broad approach might be before Koresh, that this is still right before Koresh comes. So again, those are the three possibilities. Vatomer Tziona, Zavani Adonai, Vadonai Shrichani. God responds, Hatishkach Isha Ula, Merachem Ben Bitna. Does God, so he makes a kind of comparison. Can a mother forget her child? Ula comes from the word olel, a child. It's wonderful that in the Midrash they make a play on this. Hatishkach isha ula, can a woman forget its burden, which places it on Am Yisrael, Ol Malchut Shamayim, Merachem ben bitna, for mercifully acting with mercy towards its offspring from its beten. Of course, this is a nice play on the previous part of this nevuah, which started with Mibeten Kraani. God called them Mibeten. And Hashem said, Yotzri Mibeten Le'evedlo. So it's very nice. Komar Hashem. I'm sorry. Zion says, Azavani Adunai Vadunai Shechani. And God has forgive. And God has forgotten me. And Hashem says, what are you talking about? Hatishkachi Shaula. Can a mother forget her son? Meirachem ben bitna, from having mercy on her, the offspring. It's also, of course, a little nice play on words, because, of course, as we know, the word rachmanut, the word mercy, comes in some understandings, the etymology is from the word rechem, from the word womb, motherly loving kindness. Gam ele tishkachna, even if you can imagine a situation, and unfortunately we know situations of children who are abandoned, va'anochi lo eshkachech, I will not ever abandon you. So God here says that I'm even more than a parent. Of course, we know that in the Bible, the image of God's relationship to Am Yisrael is often described as Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem, you are my children. Sometimes the father figure, sometimes the mother figure, but here it's very intense. And it's really should remind us, always reminds me of this pasuk, reminds us of a pasuk which we say in Elul all the time, which is from Tehillim, in Tehillim chapter 27. Where we say, L'David Hashem Ori, and in the middle we say, Ki Avi V'imi Azavuni, even if, that's the way to read it, even if my father and my mother abandon me, V'Hashem Ya'asveni, God will always be there to gather me up. God will always be there too. So, Azrati ayita al ticheni ve'al tazveni, ki aviv imi azavuni, v'adonai ya'asveni. God will always connect me, will always scoop me up in this context. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even more than a mother figure. I want to go one step further. This image of hatishkach isha ula, can a mother forget her child from having mercy on her offspring? Even if this could happen, v'anochi lo eshkachech. The Navi here, according to a number of writers, may also be playing off a classical idea. He may be playing off an idea that you find in Yirmiyahu. And again, if this Navi is written in the 550s, 540s, a couple of decades after Yirmiyahu wrote his Nevuot about the destruction of the temple and what led to the destruction of the temple. So if we look in Yirmiyahu chapter 2, in Yirmiyahu chapter 2, verse 32, so Yirmiyahu describing, Yirmiyahu says as follows. He says, when he describes Am Yisrael serving the idols, etc. And he says, Hatishkach bitula edya kala kishureha. Can you imagine a virgin forgetting her edya, forgetting her jewelry? Kala kishureha, the kala forgetting her adornments. Ve'ami shechuni yamim einispar. But my people have forgotten me. So here, it's a kind of reversal. Though Am Yisrael forgot God, Amish Chechuni, God doesn't forget Am Yisrael. which is also a play off a passage which we read on Tish'a B'Av in the Torah, in Devarim. In Devarim, Perek Dalid, which we read on Tisha B'Av morning. So, in discussing, God warns us, Raki shamer lecha pen tishkach. Don't forget what you saw, don't forget what you saw. And at the end, Moshe Rabbeinu talks about how, unfortunately, when I am no longer here, Hishamru lachem pen tishkechu et brit Hashem elokeichem. Be careful. Ki Hashem eshochlahu. So Am Yisrael is in danger of forgetting. But God, even after the exile, even after he's spread us out, Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to our cry. Uvikashtem Hisham et Hashem elokeichem natzata ki tereshenu. Batzar lecham utzuch kol rimeila vishavta Hashem elokeicha. Ki el rachum Adonai Elohecha, lo yarpecha v'lo yashchitecha, v'lo yishkach et brit avotecha. You will forget God, but God won't forget you. So here too, Yeshayahu is playing off of the Yirmiyahu, as well as playing off of the Torah, that hatishkach ula, can a woman forget her child? And then it goes further. That God will, how is God going to ensure that he doesn't forget Am Yisrael? How exactly is he going to not forget Am Yisrael? So he says something amazing. Hein al kapayim chakoticha chomotayich negdi tamid. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hein al kapayim chakoticha. On my, right, there's a personification of the Lord. On my palms, al kapayim chakoticha, I have engraved your names. Chomotayich negdi tamid. The walls of your cities are before me. So there's a lot of interesting things here going on. Hein al kapayim chakoticha, which of course is a wonderful image. And already, you know, some of the early writers, Calvin, some of the early Christian writers and others pointed to the fact that there is a kind of allusion here to tefillin, but in reverse, which of course we have very famously aware of from the Midrashim in the beginning of the first chapter of Masechet Brachot. They talk about how God wears tefillin. Again, a personification of God. And the Gemara asked, what's in God's tefillin? And it says, Mika Amcha Yisrael, who is like you, Israel? So there's this image here of God remembering by every day he looks and he sees that our name is inscribed in on his hand, on his kapayim, which of course is wonderful because in a sense we inscribe God's name every day on our hands, when we wear tefillin, hein al kapayim chakoticha. It's also, of course, So that is a very interesting thing. Also, the second part of this pasuk is also striking. So God remembers us. It's also striking because if it's true that we are the Eved, as was developed in the first part of this perek, Vayomerli avdiata asher becha et pa'ar. You are my servant. Ve'ata amar Hashem yotzri mibeten le'eved lo. In general, like we know from the laws of Eved Ivri, it's usually that the name of the master is branded on the Eved. But here, it's almost like, you know, one of those midrashim, mashal lebasar v'dam, that usually a melech basar v'dam does this and this, but I could create my own midrash. A melech basar v'dam, he inscribes his name on his servants. But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he inscribes, kaviyachol, our name on his chakoticha. He's mechokek. He inscribes our name on his kapayim. Beautiful. Chomotayich negdi tamid. This is also a wonderful image. Your walls are before me. Well, what's this image of the walls? Again, it could be playing off of the words of Yirmiyahu, but not in the book of Yirmiyahu, but in the book of Eicha. In the book of Eicha, in chapter 2, in describing the destruction of Jerusalem, so Asa Hashem Asher Zamam, Bitzaim Rato Asher Tzivami Mekedem, Haras Velo Chamal, Vayisamach Aleich Oyev, Hirim Kerem Tzareich, Tzaak Libam El Adonai, Chomat Batzion, Horidi, Kanachal Dima Yomam Valaila, Altidni Fugatlach, Altidom Batenaich, Chomat Batzion. The wall of Batzion should itself cry. Again, this image of the wall, the protecting shield of Israel, is now going to be destroyed, and it too will cry. And so when HaKadosh Baruch Hu restores Am Yisrael, so Chomotayich Lenegdi Tamid, I am looking at your Chomot, and I'm protecting your Chomot. Very similar to the pasuk that we sing, Al Chomotayich Hifkadati Shomrim Kol Hayom VeKol HaLaila. Miharu Banaich, quickly, your sons. Meharsaich Umachriveich Mimeich Yetzeu. Now, in modern Hebrew, this phrase, also in certain, I think, in rabbinic Hebrew, this phrase became a pitgam. Meharsaich umachriveich mimeich yetzeu, which is the famous kind of self-hating Jew image, that your worst enemies will come from within you. Meharsaich umachriveich, your destructors and the people who bring Chorban will come from you. That's not pshat. The pshat is miharu banaich, stop. Quickly, your sons should return to Zion. Why? Meharsaich umachriveich meimeich yitzeu. Because your enemies, those who destroyed you, will be leaving. Your enemies will be kicked out. And since your enemies will be kicked out, miharu banaich, quickly, you should come. Now, I do want to point out, this is also a wonderful thing. And again, what you do with it is very interesting. If you look in the Qumran caves, one of the editions of the book of Isaiah in the Qumran caves does not here have the word banaich, but has the word bonaich, your builders. The builders should come quickly and build up the city because the destroyers are leaving. Now, of course, this reminds us of the famous drasha of Chazal, right? V'chol banayich limudei Adonai, al tikre banayich ela bonayich. The famous drasha. Don't call them children, but the builders, which was the famous name of a book that Franz Rosenzweig wrote about creating Talmud Torah and other things. So miharu banayich or bonayich, the Septuagint has bonaich. Some of the Targumim, the Jewish Targumim, also seem to indicate that they had a girsa of bonaich. Again, it's very, very interesting. It's very tantalizing. What you do with it, as I said, is very interesting. Miaru bonaich, miharsaich, macharech, mimechitzeu. Se'is avivenaich. Look around. Uri kulam nikbetsu baulach. Everyone. So God is now comforting Jerusalem and saying, either this vision of what will happen, he's speaking to the Jews in Babylon who have not yet experienced the redemption, and he's telling them, not only can God do the redemption, he loves Am Yisrael, and he has not abandoned Am Yisrael, and therefore, this is the vision, or he's talking to the Jews who are afraid to make Aliyah even after Koresh has come, or he's speaking to the Jews in Eretz Yisrael who have been disappointed by the paltry first aliyah. Again, if you can imagine, like, what, you know, what were the Jews who came in 1910 and 1912? You know, it was slim pickings, and many of them returned because it was so difficult between 1881, the first aliyah, and 1905, or the second aliyah, 1905 and 1918. This was all very difficult. Many of them returned. But God promises, you'll be able to wear like crowns. Utikashrim kakala. Again, this is playing off of that pasuk I showed you in Yirmiyahu. In Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu said, does a kala forget her jewelry? And here, and unfortunately, Am Yisrael, yes, forgot its relationship to God. But here, God says, you will be restored. Ki kulam ka'adi tilbashi. You'll wear all these new Jews who come back to Israel, the land of Israel, and you'll wear them like the adornments of a kala. Ki charvotayich v'shamotayich v'eretz yirusotayich. Ki ata, all of the destroyed, the choravot, the shomemot, that which was shomema, ki ata teitzri miyoshev. Instead of being empty, it's going to feel narrow. Gesher tzar ma'od, teitzri miyoshev, v'rachakum nivolai. And all those who once swallowed you up, mivalayich, are now going to disappear. Rachaku, they're going to run away, they're going to go away. This pasuk is also playing off of an earlier part of the book of Isaiah. Again, whoever wrote the second part of Isaiah certainly knew the first part of Isaiah. Isaiah, in his famous consecration nevuah, he was given a nevuah of destruction. And he says to God, how long? Ad matai Adonai? Vayomer ad im asher sha'u arim me'en yoshev. Until there's a Shoah, there's a destruction, the cities will have no population. Ubatim me'en adam, v'adama tisha'e shmama. There's going to be total destruction and desolation. V'richak Adonai et ha'adam. The Jews are going to go into exile. V'richak Adonai et ha'adam, v'rabba azuvah bekerev ha'aretz. Here, in contrast, now, when we look at chapter 49, when the time of the redemption, God promises just the opposite. Ki chorvotayich v'shomotayich v'eretz harisotayich, all of the shomama, all of the shmama, all of the desolation, ki ata teitzri miyoshev. It's now going to be bursting at the seams, not me'en yoshev, but rather teitzri miyoshev. It's going to be very tzafuf. It's going to be so, so crowded because of everything, all the people coming. V'rachaku mivalaich. And instead of the Jewish people, v'richak adam, rather v'rachaku mivalaich, those who tried to swallow you up. Od yomru b'oznaich, b'nei shikulaich. The children who you thought were dead are now brought back to the land of Israel. B'nei shikulaich. The children of Shchol, the children who, tsarli hamakom, I don't have enough space. Gishali ve'sheva. Move over so I can sit. Ve'amart bilvaveich. You'll say in your heart, mi alad li et ele. Who? Where did all these people come from? Va'ani shechula ve'galmuda. And I was abandoned. Ve'galmuda. I was a woman who lost her sons and I was alone. I was an almana and a shchula. Remember, in previous chapters, remember that God said to Babylon, who thought that it would never experience shchol and almana in one day, right? What was that? Chapter 47, if I'm not mistaken, the lament, when it was talking to Bavel, and it said to Bavel, da, 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 Lo eshev almana velo edash chol. Vatavon alach shte eile rega biyom echad. Shchol ve'almon. You will experience the loss of children, and you will be in almana, the loss of husband. Here, in contrast, I'm sorry, here, Am Yisrael, who thought of itself in that way, who had experienced both Shechol and Almanut, Galmuda is a fancy way of saying being alone. V'amart b'lovech mi'alad li et eileh, v'ani shechula v'galmuda. I experienced Shechol, and I experienced being a gola. I was exiled, v'sura, and I was set aside. V'eila migidal hein. Ani nisharti levadi. Eila efo hein. Where did they come from? And God continues, Ko amar Adonai Elohim, hine esal goyim yadi. Now, not only is the Eved turned into redeemed, but those who were previously your masters are actually going to now serve you. So it's like one notch higher. Ko amar Adonai Elohim, hine esa el goyim yadi velami marim nisi vehiviu banaych bechotzen. Ubenotaych al katef tinasena. They're going to bring you back. Vayu melachim omanaych. The kings of the other nations will be your wet nurses taking care of you. Vesarotem menikotaych apayim eretz yishtachavu. They're going to bow down to you. Vafara glaychilachechu. Viadat ki ani adunay asher lo yevoshu kovai. Those who trust, who wait for me, will not be disappointed, will not be embarrassed. So you have the image of the woman and the children. Now you have another image. Hayukach me gibor malkoach vim shvit tzadiki malek. There's another image. The image of the gibor. Another rhetorical question. What connects this entire perek is a series of rhetorical questions that are being asked from verse 14. Hatishkach isha ula? Could this be? And v'amart b'loich mi alad li et eile? Who did this? And now another question. Hayukach migibor malkoach? Has anyone ever heard that you can rip away the malkoach, the booty that was captured by the warrior, by the hero? V'im shvi tzadik imalek? And has anyone ever heard that which was captured by the enemy, tzadik imalek, the tzadik is able to pry loose? Ko amar donai gam shvi gibor yukach. Umalkoach aritz imaleit, vet yirivech anochi ari, vet panaych anochi oshia. And now it ends with a very sharp, polemical, vengeful tone. Vachalti et monaych et psaram. Monaych are your oppressors. The people who once oppressed you will have to eat their own flesh, which of course reminds us of the tochacha when Bnei Yisrael were suffering. And Eicha, where they eat their own children, this is going to be the fate of these chevra, that those who oppressed you are going to end up eating their own flesh. V'cheasis damam yishkarun, and they'll get drunk on their own blood. V'yadu kol basar, play on words, kol basar, kani adunai mosheich v'golech, abir Yaakov, the strong one of Israel. Chapter 50 continues in the same vein. Chapter 50 continues. Ko amar Hashem, another rhetorical question. Eiza sefer kritut imchem. So, there's a new image, the image of the divorced woman. Chapter 49 was very much about parents and children. Now it's very much about the relationship of spouse to spouse. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the spouse of Am Yisrael. And again, the question is not whether God has the power, whether he's sovereign, but whether God has the will, because maybe he's been totally, he's just had enough of Am Yisrael. And so this chapter harkens back to the beginning of, to Sefer Dvarim in chapter 24. Kikach ish isha uvala, when a man marries a woman and has relations, v'haya im lo timtzachein be'enav, if she does not find favor in his eyes, ki matza ba'ervat davar, he found something inappropriate, v'katav la sefer kritut, he writes her a book of cutting, a book of separation, v'natan bi'adav v'shilcha mi'beito, v'yatza mi'beito, v'alcha v'aital ish acher. So the Bible says, if she crosses the Rubicon, she leaves the house of the former spouse, and she now goes to another house, another spouse, and she becomes married. And this too ends in divorce. Usneya ha'ishahu v'katav las ha'acharon. If the second one also hates her and writes her a divorce, v'natan bi'adav v'shilcham beito, o kiyamuta isha acharon, lo yuchal ba'ala rishon asher shilcha lashuv lekachta liot lo liisha acharei asher hutma'a ki to'avahi lifnei Adonai. The Bible gives this image that you can have divorce, but there's a certain point where there's a point of no return. Divorce is on the way to no return, but when you marry someone else and then divorce that person, or that person dies, you cannot marry the original husband. And the idea being that there's some sort of netek, there's some sort of, once you've had two sefer kritut, two gitin, two divorces, there's a certain, you're done. You can't go back. Can't go back home. But the Bible says, Komar Hashem, eiza sefer kritut imchem asher shlachtiha. Where is the get? There wasn't even one get. Meaning galut. And that's, of course, the theological question. What does galut mean? Does galut mean abandonment? Does galut mean that the story is over? Does galut mean exile is the end of the relationship between God and the Jewish people? Is it like a get and then marrying someone else? You become a different nation. You have no more, you're not the nation of God anymore. Komar Hashem, eiza sefer kritut imchem asher shlachtia. Where is the get that I sent her away with? I didn't. O mimi no shai asher macharti etchem lo. Or where are the debtors that I owe debt, that I sold you into debt, I sold you to pay off my debts? No. Hein ba'avot notechem nimkartem u'vishechem shulcha imachem. You were sold because of your sins, but that doesn't mean that I cut you off. Onesh is not abandonment. Punishment is not abandonment. And therefore God says to those who've given up hope, Madua bati v'ein ish. Why do I now come and there's no enthusiasm? There's nobody. Karati v'ein oneh. I call and no one wants to come. Hakatsor katsra yadi mifidut? Is my hand not able to save you? V'im ein bikoch latzil, hein begarati achriv yam. It's basically a redux of the first eight chapters. God, with my anger, I was able to make the sea be dry. Asim neharot midbar, tivash gatam be'ein mayim. There's no more, their fish die, which is a reference, of course, to Yitziat Mitzrayim, v'tamot batzama, al bishamayim kadrut, v'sakasim ksutam. I make the heavens, dark. V'sakasim ksutam. I put a sackcloth over the heavens. And so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes here, what he describes that he's not abandoned Am Yisrael at all. The last part of this perek is either describing Am Yisrael as a whole, or it's describing the Navi himself. Adonai Elohim Natan Li Lashon Limudim. So it's either an excursus or it's still Am Yisrael is talking, or the Navi. Most modern scholars say the Navi himself now gives you a window into what he experienced. Over all these years, when I've been giving these prophecies, people didn't believe me, which may explain the Madua Bati Vein Ish Karati Vein Oneh is a reference to the experience. What does the Navi say? What happened? Adonai Natan Li Lashon Limudim Ladat La'ut Et Ya'ef. God gave me the koach to speak. He gave me the ability to bring, to be able to arouse those who are tired. Ya'ir baboker baboker, ya'ir li ozen li shmo kalimudim. He woke me up every day. He put in my eyes. Adonai patach li ozen vanochi lo mariti achor lo nusugol. I did my job. And I went out every day and I gave these nevuot of nechama, gevi, natati lemakim. And even though I was hit, just like Yirmiyahu, even though people spit at me and people, you know, hit me, I gave my back to those who hit me, ulechayai, my cheek, lamortim, to those who would slap me, panai lo histarti mi klimot varok, I didn't hide my face from being spit on and from klimot, from embarrassment, from bizyonis, as they say in Yiddish, vadunai Hashem yazorli, al kein lo nichlamti, but I had trust in the Lord, and therefore I was never embarrassed. Al kein samti panai ka chalamish. I was like the chalamish, like the rock. Va'eda ki lo evosh. Karov matztiki. I know that my Yeshua, my defender, is close. Mi arivi tinam dayachad, mi bal mishpati gashelai. Hein Adonai yazorli mihu yarsheni, hein kukulam kabege divlu ashiochlem. Those who don't believe in the Lord, they will dissipate like ash yochlem. They'll be, you know, eaten up by rot. They'll be eaten up like with the moths. Mi bachem yirei Hashem shomei b'kol avdo. Who is the yirei Hashem? Asher alach hashichim ve'inogalo yiftach b'shem Hashem v'yishem b'lohav. Hein kulchem kotchei esh me'azrei zikot. L'chu be'ur eshchem u'bezikot b'yartem yadi. Okay, when we get next week, I'll explain this last end of this passage. But again, it's a very, very tight nevuah. It's a very tight haftorah. It's a beautiful haftorah. We move from God who is sovereign and powerful to God who has a reason to redeem the Jewish people. He's not abandoned the Jewish people. The Jewish people are his children. The Jewish people are his lover. Both images connected here. Wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom. I'll see everybody next week. Kol Tuv, everybody.
Chodesh Tov.
Chodesh Tov.
Good Shabbos. Thank you so much.
Okay. Kol Tuv.
Like it.